Good morning. This is Tracy Hales Bass, right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM. Today, I'm talking to Jonathan Miller, the rattlesnake lawyer, and we're going to talk about specifically his latest book, Rattlesnake and Son, Attorneys at Law. Good morning, John. I have to say I really enjoyed Rattlesnake and Son, Attorneys at Law. It had its clever moments. It was very fast-paced and a lot of tension, but a lot of good times in it also.
Yeah, I'm glad. The official release is March 1st, and we haven't had that many people read it. But all the few people who have so far have loved it, and so I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. And I know that I haven't yet read any of your other Rattlesnake Lawyer books, but you did refer to them in here.
Yeah, I've got about 10 books in the Rattlesnake Lawyer series, and that is the latest one to be published. But there's also a science fiction book, which also ties in with the Rattlesnake Lawyer universe.
Oh, really? And what's the title of that one?
A Million Dead Lawyers.
I love it.
And has, it's set in the year 2112.
I like it. And has that come out already?
Came out a few years ago, and it was a finalist for the New Mexico Science Fiction Books of the Year. It didn't win, but it was a finalist,
oh, that's
I believe,
great.
In the science fiction category.
But you did win the Tony Hillerman for one of these.
Yes, I won that for Luna Law, which is a book that came out in, I believe, 2017.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Why don't you give the audience a little summary of, well, first of all, The Rattlesnake Lawyer, and secondly, of the latest Rattlesnake and Son.
Well, Rattlesnake Lawyer, in real life, I was a public defender in Roswell, and I made a vow that I would get a book out of it. However, in real life, I was there for 18 months and only had, I didn't really do any felony jury trials, but I did a juvenile case. So I was inspired to write about a juvenile defendant, and in this case, it became a murder. So that was what that book was about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of, if there's a theme, it was felon envy, where the young criminal knew more about life and love than the lawyer did.
Oh.
And the lawyer ends up realizing that his client is much smarter than he is.
Oh.
I would like to say that it's not based on a real story.
You make that disclaimer in this one also.
Yes, I don't have a son, but in Rattlesnake and Son, what I wanted to do is sort of focus on what would have happened if I did have a son. And ironically, I will give you guys a big secret. The young 14-year-old character of Marley is actually based on me. What I did in that book is I moved to New Mexico when I was 14, and I went to Albuquerque Academy. At that time, Albuquerque Academy is now, it's considered one of the best schools in New Mexico, but back then it was a, felt a little bit more rural. So what I did is I created this sort of military school called Caldera Academy, where this poor kid does not fit in.
Not at all.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about bullying and feeling out of place for a 14-year-old.
Right.
And, you know, without giving away too much,
mm-hmm.
it has some tragic consequences, and we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. But I liked Marley. He's a great character.
Thank you. I wasn't a psychic when I was in high school, but I always wanted to take that level of what would have happened if I had been.
Yes, you go on and off. Is he psychic? Is he not? But those weird things are happening.
Yeah, and a lot of it is there's sort of a trial sequence, and without giving away too much.
Right.
I wanted to utilize what a trial lawyer's literal nightmares are, in that the nightmare that every lawyer has, I mean, it's I guess the nightmare that an actor is doing a part in his underwear, and I wanted to take sort of the main fear that lawyers have is that they're not prepared, that they're all alone, everyone is out to get them, and they don't know whether they can believe their client or not. And I wanted to take all those themes and work on them. And then there's one moment where, again, without giving away too much, Dan, the lawyer, is given a plea offer, which seems almost too good to be true, but he's hoping that his son will take the plea and make everything go away. And of course, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that that doesn't happen and the case has to go to trial.
Yeah, there's quite a lot happening in that. And that comes in like the second half, I suppose.
Yep.
And you wonder at first, you go, is this a dream? Is this real? It's, at first, you don't really know.
Without saying too much, the stakes are real. And everything in the trial sequence is backed by real events and will have real consequences. And the reason I called it the breakdown docket is I started taking cases after people had breakdowns, where there was a guy out in Clovis that had some kind of breakdown, and all of a sudden they gave me 30 cases. Somebody walked off the job in another place, and I got some more cases in Alamogordo. Then in Las Cruces, I got some cases, and TRC and Socorro. And it ebbs and flows, so I now do cases all over the state.
Just like Dan Shepard.
Just like Dan Shepard. He is on... There is no official breakdown docket.
Uh-huh.
However, I call what I do the breakdown docket. Yeah, I drive as much as 6,000 miles a month.
Yeah, he's quite the character, and he's not doing really well with his cases.
And again, that is I call it a nightmare version of me. I go out of my way to say I am always been a better lawyer than Dan.
That's good.
The difference between him and me is that he will get... He's not explicitly a psychic, but he does have some intuition that I don't have. And he'll win the cases at the end, but he's not always the most prepared attorney.
So in your other rattlesnake lawyer books, Dan Shepard, is he trying cases much like this one in this book?
His first case, and again, one of the things I really enjoyed doing is in the first book, in Rattlesnake Lawyer, he's representing a client named Jesus Villalobos. Let's just say the mother of one of the clients is a 17-year-old girlfriend, Anna Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna Maria, and this is something I really wanted to do and had a lot of fun with, is that in the first book, Anna Maria is the 17-year-old girlfriend of a killer. And in Rattlesnake and Son, she's now about 40, and she is the mother of a criminal. And it's sort of a fun juxtaposition. She was in love with her boyfriend, and now she's very protective of her son. And that was done on purpose.
I like that. There are references to the other books all through here, with Luna and the Pink Geisha. What is that one?
Yeah, that is... I wrote another novel called Lawyer Geisha Pink.
Okay.
And the character in that was named Jen Song. That book sort of detailed how she reconciled with her daughter, Denise. And in this, and Denise was 4 years old and unable to talk in that book. And now Denise is in her early 20s. And while she doesn't talk, she clearly has some psychic powers. I do hope to write a book for Denise. I started a draft of it.
Oh, good.
But one of my next books is going to be about Denise, who is the daughter of Jen Song, who has been in another book.
And she is Marley's cousin?
Yes. This is sort of a minor spoiler alert for all my books, but Luna... she thought was an only child. However, she has two half-sisters in Mexico, and Jen Song, who at first glance appears to be Korean, is also her half-sister.
Interesting.
So you have these four sisters didn't realize they were related, but over the course of the Rattlesnake Lawyer universe, we find that they are, and each have their similarities and differences.
Interesting. And Luna now works for Dragon...
Dragon Moon Corporation.
Dragon Moon.
And that was the big part of Luna Law, where the whole, where Dan has to rescue her from Eve, from Dragon Moon, but let's just say she sort of joins forces with them at the end of the book. And they're sort of a villainous corporation. There were, and again, to get to the science fiction book, in the year 2112, a lot of the technology that's being mentioned briefly in these books is going to be dominating in the year 2112 in the novel A Million Dead Lawyers. I want to stress one thing to all the readers out there, is that these are usually mentioned, all the what they call Easter eggs are mentioned briefly,
mm-hmm.
and then you can just go on, and I guess when you read the next book, you'll say, aha, I see the connection.
I can see those Easter eggs from the other books come out here.
Yeah, and every book I write has a character named Heidi Hawk, who is a Native American character. Every book I write has a character named Dr. Marianne Romero. Almost every book has a line, has a chapter called, in most cases, I want to keep it clean, has a line from a movie where one character says, sorry I'm late, traffic was a witch. And that's a line from the movie The Player, which I first put in Rattlesnake Lawyer. And now, literally, it was just a throwaway line, but in every book, it's become more and more important.
Yes.
And in Rattlesnake and Son, it's right at the end, mm-hmm. when he's about to get to the island to find the hidden urn. And that was intentional.
Okay.
That it had to be in a very important part.
Yes.
I like to joke I've written 9 good books and 1 bad one.
Okay.
The bad one was a book called Navajo Repo.
Okay, I saw that on the website, yes.
I've now done a special edition. It's now listed on Amazon as Navajo Repo Special Edition, where it takes place all around the Four Corners areas in Window Rock and Shiprock, the Bisti Badlands. The finale takes place in Acoma. What I wanted to do is, I'm sure your readers are familiar, or your listeners, excuse me, are familiar with The Searchers by John Wayne,
right.
With the John Wayne movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to do in this one was have the John Wayne character be a Navajo female.
Oh, I like that. Great.
Have the Natalie Wood character, mm-hmm. be a Latina, and there was like sort of the useless sidekick, and now that is based a little bit on me. And imagine what a sort of an Anglo guy would be being led around trying to rescue somebody, and it now works. I mean, I spent a lot of money editing and then went through, and I know in these days of being politically correct, I really had to correct a lot of the things in the book to make it resonate more.
Did you have fun
and
with
I
that?
I learned a lot about Navajo culture along the way. And,
I bet.
I call it Hillerman on meth.
It's like it.
Or Hillerman meets Tarantino. Something quick, rough, and again, having Native American characters that are not cliched. You know, I've met some amazing folks through my legal work, and I wanted to reflect that in some of my characters.
Well, that's great. That sounded like quite a challenge.
It was. And I've said this before, but the best speech that I've ever done was at the Navajo Nation Museum. I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I was supposed to tell people on how to tell their stories. That was what my speech was supposed to be. And all I did was just listen to about the 4 or 5 people that were there.
Oh.
And they told me stories. And I said, please, guys, write these down. I was just blown away by the quality of the storytelling and the emotions that they brought to the table. So I don't know if any of your listeners were among those 4 people who were there. I believe there was a disabled vet. There was an older woman. There was a young woman in who had just gone to a boarding school. And they told me their stories. I said, please, write them down. Oh, I think there's so much energy in the Four Corners. And, I mean, I'm trying to pitch this this story. Maury as a TV series, the reason it's called Navajo Repo is this woman has a repo agency, but sometimes she repos people.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, again, somebody's going to steal this idea. I don't care. I just want it out there. I don't think there is a television series with a strong Native American lead, or if there isn't, it needs to be out there.
Yes.
About sort of a bounty hunter who goes around and rescues people.
I love that.
And
that's a great idea. Repost people, yes.
Got a, and I guess the cover model we had in our book was a member of the Hualapai tribe. So we're trying to really turn this that book into something. Again, that's also, that special edition is now available on Amazon.
Yeah, you can find your books on Amazon. I noticed that. Do you also have a website?
Rattlesnakelaw.com.
Okay. So how long have you been writing?
Oh, that's a great question. I can tell you the exact moment I started writing.
Oh.
December 26, 1990.
You know that date. Why?
I was starting as a public defender in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a vow that I would get a book out of it.
So are you still practicing law?
Yeah.
And writing at the same time. That's got to be a juggle.
I write usually when I'm in a hotel. I write a lot in hotel rooms. But I'm really glad you like Rattlesnake and Son.
I do, very much. Can you read something for us from it?
Sure, I'll read the first page. I can't understand you. Please stop. I said aloud to whoever or whatever was causing the sharp pinging in my head. The pinging had become a regular occurrence over the last few months, but this was the loudest ping by far. If this was psychic email, I didn't have enough bars in my brain to receive it. Perhaps I was in a psychic dead spot and all the electronic noise of urban Albuquerque was interfering with the ectoplasm. After checking the mail at the main post office, I headed east on Interstate 40. I soon found myself in gridlock inching towards the Big Eye interchange with Interstate 25. Exit 226. In the heart of Albuquerque, I could go in three different directions. North towards my home in the nice desert suburb of Sandia Heights, east to see my real estate agent in the glass towers of Uptown, or south and go straight to hell. Well, south actually took me through the ugly industrial outskirts of the city. I went all over New Mexico, but rarely went south. Was the pinging telling me in which direction to head? Then again, maybe this wasn't a psychic message after all. I could have a blood clot or some unknown form of migraine. The pinging was just the gridlock in my arteries, blocking the flow of blood through the left hemisphere of my brain. There had to be a logical medical explanation, right? Nothing was supernatural about this lunchtime traffic jam on Interstate 40. It was neither super nor natural. The pinging stopped as my phone rang aloud, as if on cue. I caught the button on the second ring. This is Dan Shepard. I pressed the button and spoke into the air. I wanted to add the rattlesnake lawyer, but my rattle was worse than my bite these days. I made my living on something called the breakdown docket, took over the cases from lawyers who had breakdowns. Eventually, I'll have my own breakdown, and someone would take over the cases from me. A female voice emerged from the radio. Mr. Shepard, we need you to come down to Truth or Consequences for a juvenile case this afternoon at 2. There's an order requiring your presence signed by Judge Brady. The juvenile's name is Cruiser Arnold.
Cruiser
Arnold. One thing that I do in my books is that, I haven't done it in all my books, but most of them, is that the first sentence, or at the very least the first chapter, asks a question that is answered in the last line of the book.
Oh, clever.
So here is, I can't hear you, who is this? The last line is, I can hear you now.
Great.
And that was done on purpose. And in Rattlesnake Lawyer, my first book, when I started doing this, Dan meets Jesus Villalobos, and they're waiting in the jail, and a cop comes in and says, I'm supposed to take one of you away in handcuffs. Which one of you is the lawyer? And literally the last line of that book is, would you want me as a lawyer or a criminal? Try to do that all the time.
And there's a little town you keep bringing up, Lamatar.
That is a real place.
Is it?
And I became obsessed with that Because in my book, I say there's a billboard that says the Promised Land. In real life, there is a, I don't quite know whether to call it a billboard. I'll just call it a sign about as big as a basketball backboard, says Israel. I've heard two theories. One theory is that there is some kind of church there that has a, that bills itself as a successor to Israel. The other rumor or story I've heard, and I saw this on the internet, but I don't know if it's true, is that there was actually a settlement there from Israeli settlers. But somebody tells me that that story, which I looked up on the internet, wasn't true. So I honestly don't know why that billboard is there. But my Promised Land billboard, totally fictional, but that's what inspired me.
All kinds of Easter eggs, as you say, in there.
And that's a real place. And literally, there is a rest stop there that I stopped in yesterday. It's got a very dramatic landscape that I think I called it both biblical and post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, you do a lot of setting descriptions, which I think that's part of New Mexico writing.
One thing, we're still firming up the details, but the book should be available in March.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's available online, it's going to have my photography on it.
Oh, your own photography.
Yeah, because I travel, I'm now starting to be exhibited in galleries and restaurants.
Do you have any of those photos online?
I have an Instagram account, Rattlesnake Law, and also I have a Facebook page.
Why Rattlesnake Law?
Because, going back to what you said, December 26th.
Yes.
1990, I drove down, I'd seen this sign before. There's a sign that says, watch for rattlesnakes at the Mesa. It's what's called the Mesa, New Mexico rest stop. And I stopped there and I said, this book will be called Rattlesnake Lawyer. And I don't know if you go to the Jonathan Miller Facebook page, just Jonathan Miller in Albuquerque Facebook, you can see my before and after, where I went past there on Tuesday. And the first picture was taken around 1991, 1992 of me, which is on the cover of Rattlesnake Lawyer. The second picture was taken this week. And let's just say I've lost a lot of hair and gained some weight. And they moved the sign from about 50 feet. But other than that, everything else is the same.
And do you plan your books ahead of time and outline them, or do you just write them?
I'm now working on getting them planned a lot more. And they're outlined. I went to film school, and in film school, ironically, I finished Rattlesnake Lawyer while I was in film school. And there are all these little tricks I learned. Some of them is every book should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You can graph where they are. You know, this book has the latest book, Rattlesnake and Son, has a very long act one. And I even mention it. I have him talk. I have the character talking to somebody for legal advice, or for actually literary advice. And the character says, you know, the person asking advice says, any advice you can give me? And, you know, we're way into Act One, and the character says, don't make Act One go too long before it gets into the good stuff. And, you know, that was intentional.
So one thing I want to know, you're writing, it's well-paced, it's quick, it's really feels off the cuff. How much revision do you have to do?
Let's just say I hired a professional editor. I've had the same editor for the last several books, and then they go through it, and then I go through it again.
That spontaneity feeling, I really like that as part of it.
Well, the one thing about all my travels, you got to understand, I've driven to Las Cruces probably over 100 times. And I don't catch everything the first time, and I don't stop at the same places the time. So there are things that I put in there, like there really is a Santa Fe diner.
Okay, I was going to ask
in the middle of nowhere. That's a real place. I passed through there last week, and I just thought, I think I said it's neither Santa nor Fe.
Right.
That's not a detail I catch the first time. That's something I waited probably the fifth time.
Oh, okay.
To put in there. And another little theme I have in the book is exit numbers are very important. And like the school dance starts at exit 226,
mm-hmm.
and the bad crime happens at exit 0.
True.
And all of that is intentional.
So you have fun with this.
I do, but it's structure. I've learned that the reason that first book, the first version of the Navajo Repo book failed is the guy had to go to Vegas and then go back to Window Rock, and he did that journey in one day, which would be physically impossible. So I've learned that, you know, people aren't always going to know dates and times and stuff like that, but if it's 80 degrees one day and snowing the next day, they will catch that, and that takes them out of the story.
Right.
So, you know, going back to your editing, a lot of my editing is making sure that everything's consistent. Back in earlier drafts of some of my books, mm-hmm. and I've learned to just simplify and combine characters. And
that's what an editor's for.
Yeah, and they catch what I do, and they catch my notes. And obviously the goal is, with Netflix coming to Albuquerque, is to try to get a big deal on all these books. 10 books, I've got a lot of material to work with.
Right.
They could either be one series or 10.
Oh, that'd be great. I can see that. And what's next? What's the next book?
Well, now that the special edition is done, the one I started, but it's sort of on hold, is the book about Denise, where she's going to be a lawyer vigilante. It's tentatively titled The Lordsburg Incident, based, of course, on the Roswell incident. Except what I want to do is, it's mentioned briefly in Rattlesnake and Son,
mm-hmm.
is that she has a long-lost brother who was introduced way back. Actually, her brother was dead, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if her brother's alive? And one of the issues I've had that's come is I've defended several mentally ill folks who've claimed to have either been abducted by aliens or affected by extraterrestrial artifacts. And we've raised competency, and things have happened, both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to focus, a character, and make it, I wouldn't quite call it a serious book. The characters will be taken seriously, and whether it'll always be ambiguous on whether her brother is mentally ill or has been really abducted, and get a trial out of that, or at least a competency hearing.
Will Denise talk at this?
And Denise's song is going to be where she sort of travels around like Kung Fu.
Ah.
And she goes and does these different hearings for people. Not quite a public, imagine a public, I like that whole wanderer, the Western,
yes.
the Kung Fu, the whatever the Tom Cruise character is, Jack Reacher.
Right.
But have that as a female character.
Oh, I like that.
And I'm really excited about writing that. And Denise has been through like all these books, and she's always a very minor character.
So it's time for her book.
It's time for her book.
Great.
And I want to really write. I do martial arts on the side. I'm not very good at it, and I want to sort of put some martial arts in the next book.
And there's some in Rattlesnake and Son, yes.
Yeah, more in Luna Law.
Where
in Luna Law, every section was named after a martial arts move. Again, my books are for people who, even though they're legal thrillers, for people who don't like lawyers. They're very funny. I'd like to think they're funny. They're very human. Take my writing very seriously, and I put plots into the, the plots always are filled with surprises. I try to have my own style.
You definitely have your own style.
My style is a little mishmash mm-hmm. of a lot of other things you've already seen.
But it is original. It is unique.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It is funny, but they have the serious side too, so I enjoyed that a lot.
And the other thing about my books is that life imitates art, imitates life. And that things that I write about sometimes happen to me in real life.
Well, I'm sure you draw on your courtroom experiences for much of this.
Yeah, and that some of the speeches that I do, that I draft as being given for characters, I'll sometimes utilize in real life, opposed to vice versa. Usually
yes.
it would be vice versa, but like a lot of my jury selection, I've learned from writing dialogue, and I'm now pretty good lawyer. Actually, I'm a really good lawyer, and I've been able to utilize that by what I learned.
I've really enjoyed talking to you. I enjoyed Rattlesnake and Son, and I definitely will check out some of these other books.
Thank you so much, and I guess Ahiaha and Hagona to all my Diné friends.
That was John Miller talking about his Rattlesnake lawyer books and his experiences in New Mexico. This is Tracy Hales-Vass, right on Four Corners, on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington, New Mexico.